to follow in Bob's tradition, the story behind this story. Many years ago, 35 at least, am I subtracting right? Yeah, that's pretty darn close. Taking religion 201, 202, which everybody at Center took, we had several professors, but one of them, Dr. Windsor, always talked about Jewish words, the Hebrew words. There was warnings that when Windsor lectured, you either wore a raincoat or sat at least three rows back because all the spit from the came out. We're going to talk about some of those words today. I am not a Hebrew scholar, but, you know, researching it and from what we were taught then, we're going to get into some interesting things. First thing that Windsor always told us was, there's jokes in the Bible. So that got me thinking way back when, and then about 6 months ago when I got the centerpiece saying, Windsor died. Well, you know, I started thinking about his lectures again. So it took 35 plus years plus another 6 months thinking about this to come up with this particular sermon, which I was mostly doing just for thoughts in my own mind. If God loves a good joke, and there's good evidence that he does, think about his people, the Jewish people. How many of those people are actually kind of funny? People like Groucho Marx. His famous line, yesterday I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know. Jack Benny, back in the days that some of us remember, walking home was accosted by a robber. And the robber says to Jack Benny, your money or your life? They waited a minute or two. The robber said, your money or your life? Jack goes, I'm thinking. Supposedly got one of the biggest laughs he ever got. But there's others. There's a lot of others. More recently, we have Billy Crystal, guy that did the cowboy shows and all of those good ones. We have people like Tom Lehrer, actually worked here at the lab for a summer, goes on to teach math, but writes all these funny songs like The Elements and stuff like that. And we have people like Mel Brooks. And in fact, if you look at one of his most famous movies, Young Frankenstein, I mean, you have more Jewish people involved in running this farce than probably any other movie in the world. Not only did Mel Brooks produce it, was one of the writers on it, a fellow by the name of Gene Wilder also was Jewish and also wrote part of the theme of the movie, starred in it, of course, as the protagonist. Madeline Kahn, of course, is Jewish and was fantastic in the movie. And then there was good old Marty Feldman, the guy, hump, what hump, as he shifted it around in the movie, playing Igor, not Igor. So yes, Jewish people have been very funny. If we're going to look at it that way, that's sort of indirect evidence. And I mean, I'm skipping over people like Joan Rivers and Jerry Seinfeld and people like that, Jon Stewart with his show. The evidence should come from the Bible. And this is where kids wake up. Listen to me. Everybody get one of the pew Bibles. If there's not enough, I got more here. We're going to do a competition here. We used to do this when I was growing up, you know, about the age of most of the kids in the church. So make sure all the kids have got one. Because the kids can find things as fast as the adults can. Now see, if Ken was in here, I know he'd get every one of these first. But Ken's got my job. He's back in the nursery. What I would like for you to do is, just as a little clue for you, if it's Psalms, you can kind of open the Bible in the middle and you'll hit it. If it's Genesis or Exodus, it's right up in the front of the Bible. So you can look there. You can also look at the pages where they're listed. If it's New Testament, it's towards the end of the Bible. Fairly straightforward. I'm going to give you a few clues. First one I want you to look up is Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, first joke. Can't translate too well from the Hebrew, but Moses actually is something like Mishah, and to draw him up was Mishah. And so you've got this play on words in there. And as was always pointed out to us in religion class, it was probably as likely for an Egyptian princess to be punning in Hebrew back then as it is today. But that's the first one that I ever learned. But there's more. Philemon, first chapter, verses 10 and 11. Philemon. This is Greek. The New Testament's in Greek. Onesimus means that he's useful. That's the meaning of his name. So Paul, good old Paul, who's generally considered pretty dull, is making a play on words on the guy's name. He's saying he was useless, and now he's useful. So I know these aren't thigh slappers, but they really rocked in the first century. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. We have Judges, chapter 10, verse 4. This is a story about a guy who had 30 sons, and they rode on 30 burros. Burros in Hebrew was something like Irem, and the cities, sometimes translated in other chapters as boroughs, as in parts of a city, is Arum. So you've got another pun, another play on words that's going in there. Now, we've got another one out of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 7. Justice, there's actually two puns in one sentence in Isaiah. You don't think of Isaiah as, you know, being a funny guy, but justice is mishpat, and injustice is mishpa, or the bloodiness that Jeremy, in the translation Jeremy wrote. For equality, sidaka, and the outcry is siaka. So we have multiple puns in one sentence from somebody that we never really think of as being funny because we lose it in translation. Now, this next one actually comes across pretty well. 1 Samuel, chapter 21, 14 and 15. King David was playing at being mad. The King Achish that he was brought before is saying, I got enough crazy people around me already. And so they bring David, or, you know, so why are you bringing another madman in to see me? That one actually does come across a little bit in the English, even though it was originally in Hebrew, of course. And then finally, let's look at Acts 19, verses 13 to 16. So you've got the evil spirit in this guy saying, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? Definitely a comeback to the exorcist that were trying to do things in Christ's name. So where does this take us? When you think about this, there's these numbers of puns. There's these numbers of play on words. And there's lots more. I just tried to pick a few of them that we could use as examples. Because when you're talking about things in religion and things like that, you can't prove anything. You can assert things, but you can't prove things. But this is certainly evidence that there's something funny in there. And why would there be something funny in God's word? Well, the hymn we sang about the creation this morning, God created people in his own image. We like a good joke. Seems like if we're in God's image, God seems to like them, and they're all the way through the Bible. We saw them in the New Testament, the Old Testament. We see them everywhere. So if God likes a good joke, why is it that we have so many problems with this? We have problems because we as people try to come up with explaining what God is and what God wants us to be. And as you heard from Paul this morning, Paul was talking about vegetarians versus meat eaters. Some eat only vegetables. Some eat meat. Some will eat anything. Well, this was a bigger problem maybe in Paul's time because a lot of the meat came from people who had sacrificed animals to idols. But the question is, do you have to be a vegetarian to be a Christian? Do you kick the vegetarians out if you believe you can eat meat? Which way does it go? The point that Paul was making is we shouldn't be having so much discourse on this type of thing. And what are we as Presbyterians but discoursers? We love to talk about this is the way we should be. This is the way we ought to be. We fight all the times amongst ourselves. Let's look at this statement. Let's look at that statement. You know, you start reading the creeds, and we're going to read one, which we love creeds. There's nothing funny in them. That's because it's we people trying to talk about what God is and not letting God's word talk about what God is, which is you can laugh with God. You can have fun with him. He doesn't expect you to be dour all the time. A little dourness won't hurt because we're Presbyterians and we like dour. We're good at it. We're very good at being dour. You know, God says it's okay every once in a while for you to laugh and have some fun and be part of things with other people. And that's what Paul was saying. Gee, just because one group says, I can't eat that meat from the idols, and the other says, it's only an idol and God doesn't mind, don't fight with each other over it. Be with each other. It's pretty much the same with most of these arguments that we have. No matter what the issues are, the real thing is go along with each other. accept each other, accept your differences, but love each other and work with each other. That was the message from Paul. Now, I'd been thinking about this sermon before I read the entire lectionary for today, where the words from Paul are. And it's like Bob always tells us, that lectionary is awfully powerful. It tells you exactly what you were trying to summarize and get things together, and it is. So that's our reading from today. The people are different. There are differences throughout the people. Accept the differences. Don't make big lectures up over them. Don't write creeds over them. Don't write all of this stuff. Love them because they're different, and be with them. So this is something that I think is the real source and the real reason that we have these messages from the Bible. This is the reason we have these jokes in the Bible. We have this because God wants us to understand differences, that we are different, and accept the differences, and then go along together, loving each other, being together with each other, just like Christ said. And by the way, if you're interested, Christ actually made a joke too. Remember the one about, it's actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, he doesn't have a name for it, but Christ comes across the sea, and a demonic, crazy person comes up and accosts him. And all the people are going, oh, this man's been crazy from the day he was born. So Christ says to the spirit within the person, what is your name? That's only in Mark and Luke, but in Matthew, he does very much the same thing. And the spirit says, my name is Legion, for there are many of us. Same word that they use for Roman legions. Then wouldn't the occupied Jews have thought that there were many of them? Could he have been playing a little bit with the people? What does he do next? He sends the legions, or the spirit, into a herd of pigs, and the pigs jump over a cliff. So was he telling the Roman legions to take a flying leap, maybe? Or, even more possible, was this the first time that, since the legions were there for law enforcement, that law enforcement officers were called pigs? I don't know. So this is throughout the Bible. As Christ told us, as Rabbi Galil tells us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy neighbor as thyself. That's what it's all about. The rest of it's commentary. That's the emphasis that Paul was giving people. Even if you disagree with somebody's creed or their version, you can live with them, you can work with them, and everything will work out fine.